on 76.
Good morning.
Thanks. I'd
like to welcome everyone today and thank you for coming out to worship. And I'd like to welcome Brother Andy Barrier and his family. He'll be bringing the Lord's message later. We have announcements. Let's remember that it's all about Jesus, and we need to praise and worship Him well. And there'll be no Awana tonight. And remember to look inside and on the back of the bulletin for announcements and ongoing activities. And if you're a visitor, we ask you to fill out the tire out and place it in the offering box in the lobby so we'll know you've been hearing something about you. Before we have prayer, Brother Otis has an announcement to make.
Good morning, church. The announcements I want to make is about the pastor's study downstairs in the office. We have just purchased a large commentary about the Old and New Testament. I've looked at them. Some of the other deacons have looked at them, and they're very extensive. They're very nice. There's a lot of material down there that you can use, whether you're a teacher, a preacher, or just a plain old everyday church member. You're welcome to use that in the office. Sister Melissa is going to make a list and put it on a clipboard and put it on that large table down there. If you go down there, you can go down and read and study or whatever you need to do. Those are your books. They're not my books. They're the church's books. And I wish they'd get used. There's a lot down there. If you study your Sunday school lesson or just want to learn more about the Bible, go down there and use it. If you take something out of there, there's going to be a list. You sign your name on it. You sign out what you took. You put the date on the paper. You put the date you return it. And we're going to look to make sure that date of return happens. If it don't, you're responsible for what you take out. But I do want you to use it. And I've talked with the deacons, and we're in agreement to that. They're to be used. If they just sit down there, it's like having a big Bible in your living room. It's open on the Christmas story, but you never read it. You never pick it up, and it's just there. It's an ornament. And those are not ornaments. They're to be used, and they're for you. They're yours. So please take them, use them. If you need to, take them. If you don't, if you want to go down and sit and study and read, that's fine too. But they belong to the church, and you are a member of the church. They belong to you. But I just wanted you to know that, and please sign them out. If you take them, sign them back in when you bring them back. But they're yours to be used. Thank you.
Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are, and thank you for your love and mercy and grace, and most of all, your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for each one that came out, and pray that your blessings will be with them and their families. Pray that your blessings will be with Brother Andy as he brings your message, and pray that your blessings will be with our choir as they lead us and sing praises to you. And Father, most of all, I ask that if there's anyone listening today that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day. In Jesus' sweet and precious name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Hope everyone's had a good week and taken the time to pray. Before you got here, the Lord shows up.
Amen.
Because it depends on you and your attitude.
That's right.
It's whether or not the Lord will show up. So I hope you did that and is expecting great things, because the Lord's got good things for us, great things for us. So let's all stand and sing number 76, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Page number 89. Oh, come all ye faithful.
Oh,
This time we'll turn it over to Brother Andy.
All righty. Man, appreciate you, brother. Amen. Appreciate that good singing from the choir this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, before we get started, I just wanted to address something. Last time I was here, I come and I sat down somewhere in this area. And I was preaching about the Apostle Paul. And when I got up and left, we went and got in the car and I sat down. And I looked down and I had a rip in my britches about that long. Right in the midsection. And I said, I just preached an entire sermon with my britches ripped wide open. And so if anybody noticed that last time I was here, I want to apologize for that. And I felt like I needed to wear gloves today or something so you didn't see any more of me than what you needed to see. But I just wanted to apologize for that. I said, man, I can't believe that. Brand new pair of pants. I just got them. And when we got in the car, I just looked down and I said, wow. I said, well, I hope nobody noticed that. But I just want to apologize for that this morning. But I don't believe I introduced anybody that was with me last time I was here. My wife is back there with my two kids, my little girl, Mercy, and my little boy, John, and my best friend, Jake, and his wife, Taylor. And they go everywhere with me when I go to preach, and I greatly appreciate them, and I greatly appreciate their support. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Find your places in 2 Samuel chapter 19. And also find your places in Jeremiah chapter 41. 2 Samuel 19 and Jeremiah 41. While you're finding your place, the Lord, I had something else I had planned to preach this morning. We had a Christmas party at our church, a Sunday school Christmas party. And our pastor, my father, he did just a little, very short, about 10-minute devotion on this subject right here. And it pricked my heart. And the Lord said, you need to study on that, and that's what I want you to go preach at Thomas Village next time when you're supposed to go, and that was two Fridays ago. And I tried to get away from it. I had other things that I wanted to preach, but that's not what the Lord wanted me to preach. And so I want to do His will this morning. I want to do what He told me to do. And so as you find your place there in 2 Samuel 19 and in Jeremiah chapter 41, I'll give you a brief introduction on this passage. This passage, 2 Samuel 19, David, his son Absalom has been killed. And David is on his way back to Jerusalem. And he's on his way back and he's on his way back to take the throne of Jerusalem back to be king where he was meant to be after his son Absalom had planned the coup and all of those things and overthrown David. And he's on his way back now. And he's on his way back and he starts running into people that either had helped him on his journey or they had hurt him on his journey. And he comes to this man whose name is Barzillai in 2 Samuel 19. And he comes to this man, and Barzillai was a friend of David. He had helped David along the way. And so David comes to Barzillai and he says, "Barzillai, come with me back to Jerusalem." And as we read in context of Scripture, Barzillai says, "No." He says, "I'm old, I'm wore out, and my body can't make the journey." He says, "But I have a servant whose name is Chimham." And he says, "Instead of taking me, take my servant Chimham with you when you go." And so David says, "Okay, well, I'll take Chimham and I'll take care of Chimham the same way that you took care of me when I was on the run from Absalom." And so as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 19, if you found that, please stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. We read that David now takes Chimham. And Barzillai says, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee." And the king answered, "Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee." So he's telling, King David's telling Barzillai, he says, "Whatever you want me to do with Chimham, that's what I'll do." And so we read now over in Jeremiah chapter 41, verses 17 and 18, for context of our passage here. It says, "And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go enter into Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them because Ishmael, the son of Nethani, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, who the king of Babylon made governor in the land." So what I want to preach to you guys about this morning, and the title of my message is No Vacancy. And you'll see why here in just a few minutes. Be seated and let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You for this day, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, for the opportunity to preach, Lord. God, I pray, Lord God, You know what I've been through this week, God. I fought the devil, Lord, on and off all week, dear Lord God, about preaching this message, dear Lord God. And Lord, I pray, God, that You won't let me stand up here alone, Lord. God, hide me behind the shadow of the cross, Lord. Don't let me be up here just making noise, God. Don't let me swing an axe with no head on it, God. But God, I pray that You'll give me the power, Lord, that You would have me to have, dear Lord God. I pray that I'll deliver this message, Lord, the way that You would have me to deliver it, dear Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that all the honor and all the glory will be to You and Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And I'll give You all the honor and praise, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So what we see here is David takes Chimham over and he takes him on his way back to Jerusalem. And as we read in Jeremiah that now David has given Chimham a place and he gave him some property. And Chimham built a house there on that property. Excuse me. And he built that place sort of like an inn. What would have been a motel or an inn or something of that day. And so we see that Chimham is now harboring these weary travelers and things. We don't see that in 2 Samuel, but we see it in Jeremiah. And so we see that, number one, that this place became a place. The place that the king had given Chimham became a place of righteousness. It became a place that when those people came through, when those people came and lodged in the house of Chimham, he would tell them of some things that had happened. He would tell them of some things that the king had done for him. He would tell them of how the king had come by his way, how he was a stranger in a different land, and how the king had come by, and how he had taken him, and how he brought him into a new land, and how he brought him into the promised land, and how he had taken him and gave him a new life and a new land. And it had become a place of righteousness. Every point that I make this morning will be of two things. It'll be the sanctuary. It'll apply to the sanctuary, the church, and it'll apply to your personal life as well. So what we see here is that how is this place of righteousness supposed to apply to the sanctuary? Well, I'll tell you. Because this place is not a place for us to come and it be a social club. This is not a place for us to come and it be just, you know, hey, how are you? Shake a hand. Hear the choir sing. Hear somebody come up here and stand and yell at you for a half hour and go home. That's not what this place is supposed to be. This is supposed to be a place of righteousness. This is supposed to be the place that you come and you praise the Lord for where you were when He found you and how He took you and how He brought you to a different land and how He took you out of where you were and how He took you out of what you were and brought you into a different land and gave you a new life. This place is supposed to be, it's not a place of entertainment. It's not a place of you know, just, you know, you come to be heard and to be seen. But it's a place where you come to worship God. Where you come to worship the King for what He's done for you. It's a place of righteousness in the sanctuary. I have a story. Last week, I'm a little OCD about things. If you looked at my notes, you would realize that how I have things in you know, not cleanliness wise, okay? My wife fusses at me about that. But I like things the way I like them to be, okay? And so last week we were building the Christmas play set for our Christmas play this evening. And it wasn't done yet. And we had, like on this side, we had some bare wood and the stable wasn't built and it kind of looked messy. And, we built, you can go look at it on our live stream, we built a car around the piano. And it's the goofiest looking thing you've ever seen in your life, alright? But it's for the Christmas play. And so I got to church and I was looking and I said, this looks awful. The choir loft's gone. We take the choir loft down and all of those things. And the choir was going to sing. And I was all worked up about it. And I said, man, this looks terrible. I don't like the way this looks. The Lord ain't going to move. There's no choir loft. We had to get the stand up. All of this stuff. And I was all worked up about all of it, okay? But then when service started, we got up there and we began to sing, "Oh, What a Savior. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley. No hope within could I see, but God sent from heaven a loving Savior to save a poor, wretched soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah!" And we began to sing. And as we began to sing, the Holy Spirit of God settled on that place. And He touched my heart. And He told me, He said, "Son," He said, "it doesn't matter who's singing. It doesn't matter if the choir loft's up there or not. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is if the righteousness of the Son of God and the Holy Spirit of God settles on this place. And that's the only thing that matters today. When you come into the house of God, the only thing that matters is if the Holy Spirit of God settles on this place and moves in this place and touches hearts and touches lives and touches spirits. And if you come in here the same way that you came out of here, then it's not right. It doesn't matter. The point is, and it's what our brother said this morning, the point is that we're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. This place should be a place of righteousness. The sanctuary should be a place of righteousness, but our personal lives, ourselves, should be a place of righteousness as well. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we should not, I believe you said it, somebody said it this morning, we should be praying for our services before we ever get here. How many of us on a day-to-day basis are kneeling down in our prayer closet or wherever it may be and begging God to do something in this place? Begging God to move and to work and to do something special in this place. This place should be a place of righteousness because your life is a place of righteousness as well. You can't come into this place 3 hours a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and expect God to do anything with you if your life is not a place of righteousness as well. Your life has to be a place of righteousness. I see that Chimham's Inn was a place of righteousness, but I also see that it was a place of refuge in Jeremiah 41. We read it a minute ago. Context of Scripture. Johanan was on the run from the Chaldeans. And Johanan comes and he lodges, it says that he dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go and enter into Egypt. And so the place becomes a place of righteousness where Chimham would share with people what God had done or what the king had done for him. But also it now turns into a place of refuge because he is housing these people. This is 500 years later. He is housing these people away and he's hiding them from the Chaldeans. And you say, well, what does that have anything to do with the sanctuary? Well, not only is the sanctuary supposed to be a place of righteousness for the saved, but the sanctuary is supposed to be a place of refuge for the saved. It's supposed to be a place where we can come with our burdens and we've been running from the world all week, and we've been running from temptation all week, and we've been running from problems at work, and we've been running from problems at home, and we've been running all week away from the things that are in this world that tempt us and that torment us and all of those things. And I don't know about you, I don't get to preach every Sunday, but the church is the thing that I look forward to all week. I'm looking forward to some pretty good bowl games that are coming up this next or two weekends from now. I'm looking forward to that. But what I look forward to more than football, what I look forward to more than basketball, what I look forward more to even seeing my children and my wife when I come home from work is coming into the house of God, because I have been running from things all week. So Satan has fought me all week. I have been sick. I've had the stomach virus. I had things happen at work this week that you couldn't imagine. Satan has fought me all week on this, and I have prayed and begged God, and I have looked forward to all week, God, just get me to the point where I can come into your house and worship you. Please, just get me to the point where I can come and feel that refuge that is in the house of God. Chimham's Inn became a place of refuge. We had a lady, she's been dead for many years now. Her name was Hattie Livesey. I love this lady dearly. She would come to church, she didn't always get to come. Her body was rid with cancer. She had arthritis, her poor fingers, none of them pointed the right way. And her body was rid with cancer and arthritis, and she was in so much pain. And we would go out at Christmas time, and we would Christmas carol to her, and we would go out in the summertime, and we'd bring her things, and we'd take her baskets, and we'd do all this stuff. But when she did get to come to church, she would come in on her walker, all bent over in pain, and she would sit down, and if we had testimony time, that blessed old lady, She would raise her hand. She would stand up. It took everything she could to stand up. And she'd stand up and she'd just begin to sing. And she'd say, this world don't hold no charm. And the devil don't do me no harm. I've got my eyes on the Lord. I'm just passing through. And she'd stop and she'd raise that old hand up in the air and she would shake. And she'd say, preacher, the only place that I can feel that my pain is gone is when I come into the house of God. And she said, if I could just stay here the whole time, if I could stay here till the day I die, I believe I'd be okay. But preacher, I gotta go home. And preacher, I gotta feel this pain. But when I come into the house of God, this is where my pain goes away. This place is a place of refuge. It's supposed to be a place of refuge. Our sanctuary should be a place of refuge. But our personal lives should be a place of refuge as well. Let me say this. This place shouldn't just be a place of refuge to the saints, it should be a place of refuge to the lost as well. This ought to be the place where they say, you've got problems, go to Thomas Village. You got sin problems, go to Thomas Village. You got a drug problem, go to Thomas Village. You got a fornicating problem, go to Thomas Village. Whatever it may be, go to Thomas Village. Those people can help you. You can find refuge for your soul at Thomas Village. So I see, we had a guy come into church a couple Sundays ago. I asked him where he came from. How are you? You could tell. He's rough. He was a homeless man. And a very prominent lady in Lee County had been paying for this man to stay at a hotel. This lady's a Christian. She goes to church, not at our church. And when that man asked about his soul, you know what she said? She said, she didn't say go to such and such church that I go to, I'll take you. She said, you need to go to Calvary. They can help you. She didn't send him to her church. I'm not saying anything special about our church, but if our church does one thing right at all, we love lost souls. And we love to see lost souls saved. And we do whatever it takes to see lost souls get saved. And that lady, she didn't say go to such and such church. She said, I'll take you to Calvary. And that man come down and got saved. He was an ex-Marine. He was troubled. He's a very troubled man. He has trouble dealing with things that he dealt with overseas. But he got gloriously saved. Because Calvary Baptist Church is a place of refuge for the sinners. So I see the sanctuary as a place of refuge, but our personal lives as well needs to be a place of refuge. You see, I was talking to a gentleman the other day that I love dearly, and he said, if I had to choose between meeting with God in the morning and going to church, he said, I'd give up church every day of my life. He said, because my time, my personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ is more important to me than anything else. Your personal life, your time that the Gospels and the Scriptures tell you to go into your prayer closet and pray, to give attention. Paul said give attention to reading. He told Timothy to give attention to reading. Your reading of the Scriptures and all of those things that we do to try and have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go, and there's been times that I've went into my prayer time and into my Bible reading, and all of these things are flooding my mind, and I've got this going on and all of these things. And then you go and you start reading the Scriptures and you're begging God for an answer for something that's been going on in your life, and you're begging God, show me something. I need you to speak to me. I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait till Wednesday. I need you to show me something now. And He begins to speak to you through that precious, holy, preserved Scriptures. And then you kneel to pray, and He meets with you in your time of prayer. And you go to pray, and you don't even know what to pray anymore. But He meets with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." That's saying when you don't know how to pray, when you don't even know what to pray anymore, the Holy Spirit of God will come down and He'll meet with you and He'll pray for you. And He'll make that intercession for you that you can't make. My mom, when she was back years ago, we were going through the process of adopting a little boy. And he was 3 at the time. He's 8 now, so this was about 5 years ago. And the mom of the boy was in and out of the picture. And she ended up taking this boy and she's running off with him and leaving him. Well, we had raised this boy from the time he was 3 months old, and now he's 3 years old. And it was like we had lost a child. It was like I had lost a brother, and it was like my mom and dad had lost a child, and it broke her. It broke her. And I never will forget, she would cry. We didn't know where he was at. There was no communication whatsoever. And she would just cry and cry and cry because it was like she had lost a child. And she knelt down to pray, and she had prayed everything she could pray. And she had done everything she could do, called everybody she could call, read everything she could read. And she knelt down, and that old song, "Precious Jesus, Sweet Rose of Sharon," "There's peace and triumph when you speak His name." And I never will forget, she knelt down and she began to pray. And all she could say, with tears rolling down her face, was, "Jesus." She said, "Jesus, Jesus, because there's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Jesus, 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 Jesus." And the more she claimed the name of Jesus and the power that came with the name of Jesus and the refuge that was there in her personal time with the Lord, the more she did that, she began to rise up off her feet. And she said, "I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. But one day that boy will be mine." And shortly after that, we come up in the gas and go of Pennington Gap, Virginia. And we pulled up and we looked over beside us. And there sat that boy in a car by himself. In a car seat. And she got out and she went over there and she picked him up out of that car seat. And he grabbed her face and he looked at her because he had forgotten who she was by this point. And he said her name like he was confused. And from that moment on, that boy has lived with my mom and dad because of the refuge that was there. The refuge that was in the personal time. The sanctuary should be a refuge. Your personal time should be a refuge. But lastly, I want us to look at this. I see a rejection. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Some of y'all may have picked up on this by now because of a key word in Jeremiah. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. I usually don't have people turn places when I'm preaching because I feel like it slows me down. But I want you to see this. Luke chapter number 2. Well, you all know what Luke chapter number 2 is. It's the Christmas story. It says in Luke chapter number 2 and verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." Why? Because there was no room for him in the inn. That inn is believed by historians and theologians to be Chimham's Inn. So now, the place that was once a place of righteousness, now the place that was once a place of refuge is a place of rejection. You get what I'm saying this morning? The place that once God was in the middle of everything, the place where God was the refuge, he's rejected at the door. Because there is no room for him anymore. The inn was filled up. Sanctuary. Our churches today get so stinking filled up, it makes me sick to my stomach. I can't stand it. They get so stinking filled up with legalism and with debates and with, you know, if we should sing contemporary music or not, or if we should read from modern Bible translations or not. I believe that the King James Bible is God's perfect word for the English speaking people. I like the old time singing. I like when people used to stay up all night and pray and beg God to move in services. I like all of those things. That's the way that it's supposed to be. Jeremiah said, let me read the passage, it's right here. He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. But what did they say? We will not walk. The church today is so filled up. The churches today, they used to be a place of righteousness. They used to be a refuge for those that are lost and for those that are saved, have now become a place of rejection. And they have to manufacture things. And they have to do all this spiritualism and all of these things. And everything has to be manufactured because God's not moving anymore because He's rejected at the door. It's so sad. And you see today all of these churches where the church that my dad got saved in, Lane Street Baptist Church, Kannapolis, North Carolina, 500 people there the Sunday morning he got saved. Over 100 and some people in the choir. They had trumpets and pianos and bass guitars and all of those things when he got saved. And the church today is sitting empty. And there's nobody there on Sunday mornings. There's nobody standing behind the sacred desk and preaching anymore. It's shut down because they got too filled up. And there was no room for Him anymore. I believe that the church ought to be different than the world. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's not just talking about your life, that's talking about the church as well. The church is supposed to be separate. And how many of our churches today are rejecting Christ at the door because we're too filled up? Too filled up with things. But not only in the sanctuary, but also in our personal lives as well. And this is where it hits home for everybody. The place where you used to go and pray and meet with God, and the place where your righteousness shone through and you would tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You now get up and the first thing you reach for is your cell phone. You start scrolling. Hey, old people and young people, I know it's true. It's the first thing you do in the mornings. We all set our alarm clocks on our phone now. Cut the alarm clock off. Roll over. Swipe. Turn that thing on, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is. And bam, you're filling yourself up. You wake up empty and you're filling yourself up with the world. You wake up empty and you turn them stinking videos on and the first thing you hear is some jerk dropping an F-bomb first thing in the morning. What happened to the days? Cell phones are not. When people would get up, and their first order of business was to open those scriptures and hear from the Word of God. Charles Hatton Spurgeon said, how dare I ever hear the words of man or read the words of man before I've heard and read the words of God? How dare we today get up and crack open our phones and listen and read to things that we're not even going to remember in an hour. Listen and read things that have no bearing on our lives. Listen and read things that doesn't matter. Hollywood wives and, oh, the Johnny Depp and so-and-so got divorced. Who cares? Nobody cares. No one. We ought to wake up and pick up this Bible and crack it open and beg God to meet with us every morning. And if we're not doing that, He'll never meet with us here. This is the importance. This is what's important in our lives. If I didn't have to have a smartphone for my job, which I do mapping and all these things on my smartphone, I would get rid of it in a heartbeat, I promise you. Because it is a temptation, it is a distraction from what God is trying to tell you. And you go to your place and you get down on your knees and you say, God, show me something out of this Word. God, I'm trying to pray to You. And then you start having all these things flood your mind that you've listened to and that you've read and that you've watched on all of this stuff, and you're trying to figure out why God won't speak to you anymore. It's because you're filled up. Just like the inn was filled up. You're filled up with the things of this world. And the places that were once righteousness and refuge are now a burden to you. And you get up, and even if you even do read your Bible, if you even do go to pray, you're trying to fit it in here or fit it in there because you don't have time for it, because you won't make time for it because you're filled up. God wore me out about this. I'm not just preaching to you. He wore me out about this. And how much better would our church services be? And how much better would our lives be? And how much better would all of those things be if this was our first order of business in the morning? Begging God, show me something out of Your Word. I need something to make it through my day. TikTok's not going to do it for you. YouTube's not going to do it for you. Hey, you know what I watch on YouTube? Gun stuff. I love it. It's awesome. But that's not going to get me through my day unless I need to shoot somebody. Which I hope I don't have to do. This is what will get you through your day. We need to get back to getting the sanctuary righteous and getting our lives a place of refuge so God can move. He'll never move in this place if He's not moving in your life. Never. You can come here and you can cry and you can raise a hand and you can do all of those things and you can walk out those doors and not pick up your Bible all week. It's emotion. God gave us emotions. I'm a crier. I'm a shouter, I'm a worshiper, I'm a praiser. I love it. But emotion without devotion is empty and it's vain. If you get up here and you cry and praise the Lord, praise God for it. But you better walk out those doors and be devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Five quick things to fix it and I'm done. First, we need to get back in the Word. They all start with W. We need to get back in the Word of God. I just said it. We need to get our worship right. I wrote down here, you know, you may say, I'm not a hand raiser, I'm not a crier, I'm not a whatever. You're going against Scripture. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Go read Psalms. I will lift holy hands unto the Lord. I will cry with a loud voice. I will sing with a loud voice. You don't like to raise a hand, you don't like to praise, you don't like to worship, well, you're sinning sitting in a pew. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Actually, I'm not sorry. It's the truth. It's the truth. If y'all don't like shouting, you better not ever come to Calvary Baptist Church. I can promise you that. Because we cut loose. We don't speak in tongues or nothing like that. But because it's not scriptural. Amen? I can tell you why if you want me to. But we worship the Lord. And I'll tell you why we worship the Lord. You say, I don't, I really like to worship. You know, I'm not that kind of person or whatever. I tell you what, when you stop to think about where you were when the Lord found you and how close you were to burning in the devil's hell for all of eternity, and you think about after He found you, what He's done for you, and you think about the blessings that you wake up with every morning, and you think about, you may not have the nicest car in the world, you may not have all of those things, but you have breath in your lungs, and you have a desire in your heart, if you're truly saved, to serve God, and He's changed your life. Let me tell you something. If you would have known me before God changed me, you would have never wanted me in this pulpit. But the way that God began to work in my life, you ask me why I shout, you ask me why I praise, you ask me why I get all worked up behind the pulpit, and you ask me why I get all worked up when I'm singing, it's because I start to think about, we sing a song in my group, and many of you know it, I'm sure. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me, and when I think of what He's done and where He brought this old boy from, I've got so much to praise Him for today. We get our worship right. We get our reading the Word right. We get God's will back in our lives. And this is something that so many of us, it's not preached on much anymore. We don't think about it anymore. But when's the last time, and I'm guilty for this as well, when's the last time we knelt down in our prayer closet and asked God what His will for our life is? It's in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life. In the Thomas Villages ministry. When's the last time we've done that? He touched my heart about that, because with me, if I have if I'm going for a job interview or something like that, I'm begging God, God, do Your will. God, do Your will. You know, I need You to show me if You want me to go this job. Do Your will. Do Your will. You know what? Whatever it may be. Job, whatever. Apply yourself. But that's it. I get the job, I don't get the job. Okay, well, it was His will. And then you're not praying about the will of God in your life anymore. We ought to be waking up every morning, young or old, begging God to show us what the will for our lives are for that day, so we can walk with God that day. So we need to get the Word back in our life, God's will, our worship. We need to get back to working for the Lord. When's the last time any of us witnessed to somebody? Truly said, hey, listen, how are you? I go to Thomas Village Baptist Church. Here's a track. You ever been saved? Anything like that. There's a whole world of lost and dying people out here that are dying and burning in hell, falling out from a church pew and falling out from the world. When's the last time we witnessed to anybody? I mean, genuinely, we need to get back to our work and we need to get back to our daily walk. My sister, if you'll come and play the piano for me, please, wherever you're at. We need to get back to our daily walk. You say, okay, my life used to be a place of righteousness. Okay, my life used to be a place of refuge. This church is a place of righteousness. This place is a church. Any of those things. How do I fix it? Very simple, 5 steps. They all start with W. Get God's Word back in your life. Get God's will in your life. Worship the way you should. Work the way you should. And start your daily walk. It's not hard. The devil will make you think it's hard. The devil will make you think that it's difficult. The devil will stand there and he'll tell you that alarm clock will go off an hour early. I try to get up at 5 myself. I used to get up at 6 because big boys like to stay in bed. But then that first time I set that 5 o'clock alarm, I rolled over and I looked at it and I swiped it off, and the devil told me, just stay in bed. You know you've got to go walk miles and miles in the woods today. Why don't you just stay in bed? And I got up and I got the Word. I left my phone. I didn't touch it. Took a shower, went and got my Bible. Began to read. and God met with me. And then day in and day out after that, and you wake up and you go and read, and you start that daily walk back in your life. It's not hard to do. You've just got to get over the temptation of your flesh telling you not to do it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I hope this was a blessing to you today. Maybe you're here today and you don't know anything that I'm talking about at all. Your life has never been a place of righteousness. Your life has never been a place of refuge because you've never had the one who paid it all in your life to begin with. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross for you. And just like He did with me, He can take an old rotten sinner and He can save you and He can change your life and He can begin a work in your life. If we can stand to our feet, please. Maybe you want to come down to this altar and just ask God to restore your walk with Him. And listen, coming down to an altar is not an admission of guilt. It's not saying, hey, you know what? I'm a piece of trash and I need to go down to the altar and pray. Every time I get a chance, I go to an altar and pray because it's an opportunity for me to meet with God and talk to Him. Now, I'm not going to try and pull you down here. But if there's anything in your life that you feel like you could change, whether it be you're not reading the Word the way you should, you're not worshiping the way you should, or working or walking the way you should, or maybe you just need to seek God's will for your life, why don't you come down to this altar and ask God to help you? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You for this day, Lord. I thank You for this opportunity, God, to stand and preach Your Word, Lord. God, I pray that, like You said, it will not return void, dear Lord God. Lord, I pray that You'll just help us today, dear Lord God. Help us to take it and apply it to our lives. And in Jesus' name, amen.